She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at Chai FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
Dina Diamond, a very good morning. How are you? How was your weekend? And how was your day off last Monday on Women's Day when Zanati and I were in studio? No, but we've let it go. Hey, Zanati, we've let it go.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad. Yeah. Listen, I said it is my first Monday the whole entire year. Do you understand that? That I actually just decided to take off. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You don't be sorry.
I'm glad to see that you're really over it.
No, exactly.
It really wasn't a problem.
You know us. We would never hold on to these things.
No, well,
we don't do
furibble
here. Yeah, and we're not sensitive. Yeah. Now that Zanati knows the word furibble, she's embraced it fully.
Listen, I feel like Zanati learned the word furibble a while ago.
She learned it from her grandmother. Even if she didn't use the word. So there you have it. Of course, last week was Women's Day, but we are in Women's Month. August is Women's Month, and that's what somebody said earlier. That's like a really a woman's thing. You know, give them a day and they take a month.
Wow. Exactly. See, there we go. It's like an Indian birthday. It just carries on and on.
And nothing wrong with that at all. Alright, but we were going to be talking about marketing, the marketing around women, but your thought was actually maybe to do something a little bit different and, to rather talk about, the stories of incredible SA women and what they are famous for. And I actually thought that is such a great idea. I love this.
Good. You know why? Because, I mean, again, so I was thinking definitely, you know, Women's Month, we must talk about marketing, how we talk specifically market to women, what's their buy power and all of that. And then last night I was sitting watching, I don't know if you saw Dr. Edith Eglin, who wrote The Choice. Who wrote at 90 years old. She's a Holocaust
survivor. It's one of the most magnificent books. Mm.
Sure, Holocaust survivor from Auschwitz. At 90 years old, decides to write a book, which is so motivational, so inspiring. I mean, to listen to her alone is an absolute privilege. She is so full of energy, full of life. She's now 92, written a second book. And I thought, you know, what is Women's Month about really? So I know Tanya Curry was going on Friday about why are we celebrating Women's Month? What is the point of having Women's Month and Women's Day? Every single day should be Women's Day. And I completely agree. But if you do look at what happens around Women's Month, all companies, all brands completely use it as a marketing tool. And they actually choose either women that work for them or women in society that have got a story to tell that can inspire, that can motivate. Because let's face it, there is gender inequality. We're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. And women do need to be constantly buffed and inspired to show that they can do better and they can constantly strive. I mean, Timothy Leary did say that women who seek to be equal to men lack ambition.
I love that, because they should aspire a little higher.
Exactly. And I think Women's Month is there to remind women that they do need to do that and to say that they do have the power and they do have the strength and there are other things that women bring to the table. In fact, if you look at sort of stats from boardrooms and companies that have diverse boards, you'll see that they are actually, in terms of their net profit, they actually have over 30% higher net profit with mixed boards because women have a different perspective.
Absolutely. And it's so interesting because we've even seen this during COVID. We've spoken about it on the show, is that the countries that are led by women and have been during this time have actually fared a lot better than countries led by men.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if we look at my absolute all-time favorite, Jacinda from New Zealand, I mean, she has been completely inspirational. She has led her country. Now there was one more case. So Jacinda Ardern, I mean, she is, as I mentioned before, the only female prime minister in New Zealand, was the first one to also, and even have a baby in office.
Amazing.
So she is living proof that you can have it all and living proof that you can,
she doesn't have a husband.
Control the world. Okay.
She doesn't have a husband.
No, but she's got a partner.
She got a partner. Yeah. I'm just saying, you said she has it all. I'm saying she doesn't have a husband, but maybe that's why she can achieve so much.
Oh, there's no one pulling her back.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
exactly.
Funny.
No, I think she's incredible. Yeah.
So Angela Merkel, I mean, even Michelle Obama, like, I think came out so strongly as the wife of the president. She wasn't just sort of a side woman anymore. I mean, again, with Hillary, she should have said as well, a bit differently. But I think we've seen just so, like, the real evolution of women coming out so strongly. Beyonce coming out with her new album and her strength and her power. So women are making it for themselves.
Yeah, incredible. But it wasn't always that way, and it wasn't always easy. Yet South African history has a number of women, iconic women, who have changed the course of our own history here in South Africa.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you look at Women's Day, which is the 9th of August, the reason it was actually commemorated is because in 1956, over 20,000 women participated in one of South Africa's largest protests as they basically marched to the union buildings in protest of women having, black women and women of color having to actually hold passbooks. So that was passbooks that used to be checked and actually say, where are you going? And then if you were stopped, you had to have your passbook. And there were so many women, that was arranged by the Federation of South African Women, that were involved in that, that have become icons and struggle icons. And in fact, I was doing a car rally the other day, a socially distant car rally as part of an event, which was amazing, but it was focused around Women's Month. And there were lots of clues around various women. And what I found is, even though I knew the names, I didn't know really what they were famous for.
We often talk about that here, that Zanati and I were saying, like, unfortunately, we often have to wait for these people to die before we actually even know. We start looking into their lives and we say, wow, like, why didn't we know this? But you're absolutely right. So take us through some of them.
All right. So, I mean, just to even start with that, right? So Charlotte Makeke, I mean, the Joburg General Hospital is named Charlotte Makeke.
Yes.
And I don't know if you both know what Charlotte was actually famous for herself.
No.
She was born in the late 1800s.
Right.
And, she was, had an amazing voice, and she was obviously a black woman in South Africa who was part of a choir and she was the first South African black woman to get a university degree.
Wow.
Yeah. See,
incredible.
No one knew this.
No, I did
everyone
not know.
Knows Charlotte Makeke Hospital. Well, actually, my husband didn't. But he knows.
But most people know that.
He's like, where is that? Where is how much? Because, you know, they keep renaming stuff in South Africa.
It is true. First of all, it did take me a while to put the two together. I thought the Joburg Gen and the Charlotte Makeke were two different hospitals. But I didn't know that it was a hospital. And then
my point. So, and they named it after this phenomenal woman who was a rights activist, who used to teach, who was involved in South African politics until her death. She served as the leader of the ANC in the 1930s, and she protected the welfare of Africans within South Africa. So she really was an amazing, amazing woman. But when you hear Charlotte Makeke, you don't even know who she is. So why? I think that we need a better marketing campaign from the government, because the government are the ones that are trying to push this whole agenda of women. Madiba's dream was to have over 50% of his government as women. I mean, they have gone away towards that, but there are a serious lack of stellar examples in our government
problem. Maybe they can bring in some young women rather.
Yes, maybe with some morals. Anyway, moving on.
And who are a little bit less fond of Louis Vuitton. Just so.
I mean, listen, there's no problem with
it. Truth is, I'm fond of Louis Vuitton myself, but it's just what you use to pay for it that is the problem.
Exactly. Find yourself a sugar daddy. Mm. Anyway, that's not the way of Women's Month, Howard. One must earn it themselves.
Thank you for saying that.
So Charlotte Makeke. So that for me was an amazing thing, because on this race, obviously, we had to find the hospital, but it was through finding out who the first black woman was that had a degree, and she returned to South Africa. So an amazing story. Did not know that. Mm. Then another hospital that exists is Helen Joseph Hospital, right?
Yes.
Now, what was Helen famous for? So we know she was a white woman. We know that she had a powerful role in the formation of the Federation of South African Women. And Helen Joseph was actually spearheaded the Women's March, was one of that march in 1956. So she was an absolute vocal advocate of women's liberation, spoke against apartheid government, and she had a massive commitment to the liberation struggle. So she was actually awarded the ANC's highest award as a symbol of courage.
Incredible.
And so she was an amazing, amazing, amazing woman. So that was Helen Joseph, another hospital. But people need to know these
people. Yeah, we don't know them. Who else is on that list?
So Fatima Meer. So Fatima was a South African writer, screenwriter, author, and activist during the apartheid government struggle. She was also involved in that march. So there was a whole, all these women were absolutely involved in that 1956 march.
It seems to be like a pivotal point that, which is so fascinating. You know, so as we've got the Rivonia treason trial, so this women's march was a defining moment as well.
Yes, especially for women. Absolutely. I mean, and also, you know, there's a street named Albertina Sisulu. So we know about Walter Sisulu. But Albertina Sisulu, she was actually a nurse and a political activist in her own right. And obviously she was married to ANC Deputy President Walter Sisulu, and she was one of the first women also to take a position of defiance and leadership against the apartheid government, and also was one of the organizers of the march. So all these people tie in directly to what is today Women's Day. And she was actually one of the first women to be arrested under the law that allowed police to hold suspects in detention for 90 days without charging them. So she was held for 2 months in solitary confinement and was tortured relentlessly. I mean, I don't think people realize when you're driving on Albertina Sisulu
We think of nothing of this.
She
it's
endured.
Just a name. It's phenomenal. Tell us about Ruth First. She's always been an interesting character to me.
Yeah, so Ruth First, and I mean, even the pictures of her are just so lovely. I mean, so Ruth was a journalist, an academic, and a political activist, and she obviously got her BA at Wits, as one does. But her classmates are the interesting ones, because her classmates included former President Nelson Mandela and a few other political activists such as Joe Slovo, and who she actually would later marry.
Right.
And she worked as an investigative journalist and editor, focusing on basically all the social injustices that were going on in South Africa and the apartheid government. She was a member of the Federation of Progressive Students, and she published a number of books focused on feminism and equality within South Africa. And then in 1982, she was very young.
Yeah.
Sorry?
And Jewish.
And Jewish, yes, absolutely, as were many, and we'll talk about Helen Swiss next as well. She actually was killed, Ruth was killed by a letter bomb that was believed to be the work of the South African government.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically an assassination.
Yeah.
Do you know what I've realized is that I know that, you know, people that ask, why do we celebrate Women's Day? They kind of, or any holiday, they kind of want it to be relevant to the times now. But honestly, I feel like just from the history that this background that you've given us, I think that's even enough.
It's true.
Absolutely. I mean, these women, again, should not just be names. We should know their stories.
And I think that's, you know, it is the responsibility of the government to constantly be, you know.
Are we actually even teaching this to our kids?
Yeah.
You know, I remember in Standard 3, so it is at Grade 5, we would learn about heroes, Volrod Voltemade and his horse. And, and I don't know, Durkee Ace, he did something. And then there was this another woman who, I don't know, buried her brother in an ant heap or something to save him. But you know, we couldn't relate to those aren't, you know, but these are heroes. These are real heroes of the South African, the South African story and struggle. And these are the heroes, you know.
And should it not be enough that we are here because of them?
Yeah.
That, even if you can't relate, even if it doesn't inspire you, but just that is enough.
But it has to inspire you. And if it doesn't inspire you, then it's not taught right. If you take a story, let's say a Ruth First story, and here's this sort of this Jewish girl growing up, the context of what happened in Europe and South Africa, racism. She goes to university. She becomes involved in it. She gives her life to it. Literally, marries Joe Slovo, who becomes this icon as well, and then eventually is killed because of her actions and her activity. You know, if that story doesn't, if you can't find a way to inspire people, boys and girls today, or girls and boys today, then you shouldn't be in education, because there's a lot there that anybody should be able to relate to.
Very interesting.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, so all of these people, so were like, even Helen Joseph, Helen Sussman, the Jewish woman, there were six Jewish women on trial with Ruth First, Yetta, Baron Blatt, Sonia Bunting, Dorothy Shanley, and Jacqueline Orenstein. So there were such strong Jewish women.
And I wonder how many Jews even know this. Even people, members of our own community who don't know. And Zanati, I can tell you, doesn't know the history of, never mind the Jewish women, the black women who were part of the struggle that changed the course of South Africa. Why don't we know this?
Yeah.
We don't know our own stuff.
Yeah.
And not even, I mean, then we even get to Helen Sussman. I mean, Helen Sussman was the founding member of the apartheid government opposition party, the Progressive Party. And she was internationally recognized for her work as a human rights activist and even was nominated twice for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow. Incredible.
Absolutely.
I mean,
incredible.
But we don't know these things. We're not teaching these to our children. And again, storytelling is so powerful and such an amazing tool. It's an amazing marketing tool, and it just engages you and it brings you in, and people love storytelling, but we're not telling the stories of these phenomenal women.
It's very, very, why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's just being disregarded. I mean, again, it should absolutely be part of the history books. It should be part of the school syllabus. I don't think the government celebrates it enough. I don't think that they push it out enough. I don't know if it's because they were white women, but I mean, they were even.
No, but they weren't all white women. I mean,
you've got Albertina Sisulu. You've got Lilian Ngoyi, who was also part of that, whole march. You've got Winnie Mandela. All of these women were absolute stalwarts. I don't know why.
But that's the amazing thing is, you know, we're with Fatima Meer, this is a cross section of the South African society. And this is actually what we are looking for today, because this bridges a racial and social divide. When you look at these, this list of women, and you've got black women, white women, I don't know, Muslim women, Jewish women, people from all across South Africans, society that fought and sacrificed for a South Africa that would be equal for everybody. That is the ultimate South African story. It's actually not about anything. That's the quintessential story, and that's what we should be talking about. Exactly. And I think we do ourselves an injustice by not speaking about it and not learning about it. And I think that is something that we should do. We are unfortunately out of time, but Dina Diamond, thank you for changing the topic to this, because it is so valuable and so important. I hope everybody, I'd love to hear from you on 34519 or 061-895-1019. What do you think of that perspective, and what do you think about these incredibly inspiring women? Dina Diamond, thank you as always.